Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis, the Genesis chapter 2. If you turn to Genesis chapter 2 tonight, we're going to read verses 18 through 25. Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, today we thank you, like every day, for your kindness and gracious mercies toward us. We thank you that your mercies are new every day. We certainly need them. We thank you that your grace is unfailing. We certainly appreciate it. And Lord, we thank you that your love is upon us forever, and we rejoice in that. We thank you for loving mankind enough to send a Savior so we could go to heaven and spend eternity with you. Now I pray tonight that as we look into the Word of God, by your Holy Spirit, you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of the people here in this room, those watching and listening, to receive the Word of God. I pray it would do its work in our hearts and our minds and then in our lives. I pray that you would help us tonight to understand, help us to take something from the message that would guide us and direct us in our life and our decisions and our Christian walk. I pray, my Father, you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll thank you for all in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going all the way back to the beginning of the human race. Back before the fall, back before the hordes and the crowds and the hustle and the bustle of modern life. Back before politics and pandemics, before wars and workloads, before malls and merchandise, back to the original design of the Creator God. Here in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we have the creation of humankind. He created them male and female. Regardless of what man says or tries to concoct, that's just how it is. And here were man and woman, fresh from the creative power of the Almighty. Nothing between them and God, and nothing between each of them to the other. I thought today we would look at the uniqueness of a woman. God made Eve on purpose, and he made her for a purpose. She was not a test project, but she was a purposeful creation of God. He made woman exactly as he, in his omniscience, wanted her to be, and he made her exactly as she needed to be. If I'm correct, I believe that the woman is the only created being created after man. She's not an afterthought, because God is omniscient. He didn't just go, "Oh, look, Adam needs somebody. What am I going to do? Oh, I know, I'll make a woman." No, he had this planned from eternity past. Her order in creation is specific, showing that the creation was not complete without her. Her order in creation seems to be designed to demonstrate her necessity. So let me share three things that show the uniqueness of a woman. Number one, the helpmeet. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." God called this new creature a helpmeet. Now the word helpmeet is in the Hebrew, the word neged. It means counterpart. The English dictionary says about this phrase, helpmeet, a thing that fits another perfectly, something that completes one remarkably similar to another. And so this woman was created remarkably similar to the man, but different in unique ways that complemented and completed the man. Adam and Eve were perfectly compatible in every way. God had just given Adam rulership of the entire planet. Adam had all faculties and abilities that he needed for the task ahead of him. Yet there was something missing. I mean, all the animals came and he had the capacity and the intellect to name all of the animals. But something was missing. Adam was unable to fully function in his role as earth keeper because he had a need that no other created being in the universe could meet. So God created woman in response to man's need for a companion, listen, and a counterpart to help him run the world. This was a team, a two-person team running the world. We didn't evolve from Neanderthals who could hardly scribble on the wall of a cave. Right. We are descendants of a couple of human beings who ruled the planet, who named all the animals. We're not evolved from a monkey. Adam named the monkey. Probably had a pet monkey. Name was probably Mike. Brother, I always had the last word. You have to remember that. That word counterpart, you know, that a counterbalance, a counterpart is to keep things balanced, isn't it? If I have a weight on this side, it's like this. But if I put a counterweight on this side, it brings it up like this. And so Adam had this counterpart, this counterweight that God had created for him. I find the Hebrew word for woman most intriguing. It is Isha. Now, man is pronounced Ish. And woman is Isha. And many scholars believe that Ish comes from the root word that means strength. So man, Ish, man, strength. You know, we always tell our boys we want them to be, no, man-ish. I just said the word Ish means man. Now, I got a lot of work cut out for me. And so here's man, he is Ish, and it means strength. But Isha comes from the root word that means soft. So the woman, man is strength. The woman is soft strength, or soft man. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad women are soft. I mean, men, we're hard-bodied. Well, God made us that way originally, let's put it that way. But our muscle mass is different than the woman's muscle mass, and there's a whole lot of things we could talk about that are uniquely different between man and woman. But man did not need a duplicate of himself, he needed a counterpart to himself. And woman is the perfect creation to meet that need. Only God could do that. Woman was not created as an inferior. She was created as an equal. We get confused and think that somehow the woman is inferior because she was created second, and the scripture says she's to be in subjection to her husband. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. However, this is not a submission due to inferiority, but a submission in accordance with created role and created need. Adam had already been given leadership of the entire planet before Eve was even created. She was not created to compete with him. She was created to complete him and to help him with his God-given responsibilities and duties. And so God created man, and he said, here you go, Adam, the whole world's yours. I want you to name all the animals. I want you to run everything, make sure everything is just real nice and copacetic. And then God said, you need a little help? Adam said, yeah. So God said, I'm going to make you a counterpart. I'm going to make someone uniquely for you that will help you with that huge job that you have. So he made a woman. She could provide that something, that special ingredient that was missing without her. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 11 and 12. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. God made it perfect, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You know, women are so necessary, not just for procreation, but for all the gifts and talents and abilities and insights that they bring to the world. God, in essence, said, Adam, here are your responsibilities that have made you strong to accomplish them. And Eve, here are your responsibilities, and I've made you soft to accomplish them. Everything Adam wasn't, Eve was. And everything Eve wasn't, Adam was. Perfect. And here is the first mother in Genesis chapter 2, or 3, and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. You see, woman was a unique gift of God to man. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, the Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So, gentlemen, if you have a wife, you ought to be thanking God for the favor he's shown you. And I just want to say this. There are men in this world that would love to have your wife. You say, my wife? Yes, sir. It happens every day. So appreciate what you, and women, same thing. There's somebody in this world that'd love to have your husband. So just keep those things in mind. And this is, it says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. The word findeth here has the idea, it's not like you're looking under every rock, you know? It's not like you're going out to the bars and you're going out to the parties and you're going here and there trying to find this wife. That's not how you find a wife, and that's not how you find a husband. The word findeth here has the idea of walking along the street and lo and behold, there's a $20 bill right there. And you say, wow, look what I just found. That's how you find a wife. That's how you find a husband. You just live your life for God. And you dedicate your life to Jesus. And as you're living your life, boom, she'll be there. As you're living your life, boom, he'll be there. It happens. It'll happen if you let God do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, the Bible says, the woman is the glory of the man. And so here's this uniqueness of the helpmeet. Point number two, go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And so this woman is unique as the helpmeet, but she's also unique for the home front. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Previous to verse 4, we're reading about the older women, and it says what they're supposed to do in verse 4. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In this modern era, this description may seem old-fashioned and even demeaning in today's mindset. But that is only because of the humanistic and anti-biblical blatherings of those who deny God's design and ignore His word. Woman was given a vitally important and powerful and influential position, not only in the Garden of Eden, but throughout history and in human society. She has a unique role that no one else can fill. And I said this something like this morning. I'll say it again tonight. Men do not make good women. No matter what they do. They can take pills. They can have surgeries. But men cannot make good women. God makes women, and God makes good women. Today we have people saying men can get pregnant. Huh? I don't know where you went to school. I don't know what medical books you're studying from. Men do not make good women, and we're not supposed to. That's why God gave us women, so we don't have to be women. Amen? I don't have to think like a woman, act like a woman, talk like a woman, do woman things. God gave me a woman. Praise the Lord for that. There she is right there. And that is a position that God uniquely fitted women for, to be women. The strength of any civilization is found in its families. And women have been given the responsibility of being civilization builders by being family builders. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14 says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house. Do you see that? Now, what's wrong with that? Why does the society find that to be so restrictive? And so, that's a big job. That's an important job. And it says that they're to guide the home. That phrase, guide the home, is oikedespoeo. It means to rule the household by management and direction concerning household affairs. The home, gentlemen, is her domain. That's her world. You see? Where's your world? It's out there. Her world is in here. And when you as men try to micromanage the household, you're going to mess it all up. Let them do their job. Let them be who God created them to be. Let them manage the affairs of the household. So if they tell you, hey, get some milk and bread, you better get some milk and bread. Proverbs 31:27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house. You see, the man can build the physical house, but the woman builds the spiritual and emotional house inside. Women are uniquely suited by God to accomplish this vital and pivotal role in human society. When women abandon this God-given responsibility, society as a whole suffers. Where there is no organization, no structure, no oversight in the home, it falls into ruin morally, physically, and spiritually. And the splintering of society begins with the fracturing of the family. And I think about it. The men are out, your husbands are out working and doing all your stuff. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what the needs are of the household. Aren't you glad there's somebody to do that? Amen. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Remember we read that? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. But listen to this part, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Children need to see the value and veracity of God's word in their mothers. We have a generation, perhaps several generations, who have been raised by women who did not teach by example the truths of the Word of God. And therefore their children do not respect, let alone reverence, the Bible. God knew what He was doing when He created man for the world and the woman for the home. One without the other is disastrous. So we have the woman uniquely created by God to be the helpmeet. Uniquely by God for the home front. And lastly, the heavenly calling. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy mother Lois," or thy grandmother Lois, "and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Mothers and grandmothers have been given a unique calling by God. And of course, mothers and grandmothers are women. God has given to women the primary role in maintaining the underpinnings of human civilization through the ministries that are uniquely theirs. Like passing on the true biblical faith to their children and grandchildren. Who spends most time with the children? The moms, right? Or the grandmoms. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. "And who do most churches entrust with the spiritual education of their children? Women. And the most impressionable, most precious, and the most inquisitive are taught by who? Are women." Number 2, the sharing of wisdom and kindness. Proverbs 31:26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Number 3, the instruction of ethical, moral, and spiritual laws. Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother." To be an example of graciousness. Proverbs 11:16, "A gracious woman retaineth honor." To illustrate support for the ministry of Christ. Luke chapter 8, verse 2, "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." So here are these women who are ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ out of what they had. What a unique position. It didn't say the men were doing that. It said the women were doing that. Who went to the grave? When the men, it was the women. They are also cultivating an inward beauty. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward appearance of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So God's helping under women, they're cultivating an inward beauty. He's not saying that you can't wear nice apparel and you can't wear gold and you can't comb your hair. He's not saying that. He's saying if that's all you're concerned about the externals, you're concerned about the temporary, you're concerned about that which is less important. He said, rather, If you had a choice of wearing a meek and quiet spirit or wearing gold, it should be the meek and quiet spirit. That's what makes you beautiful. Amen. Women also have the ministry of comfort. When God wanted to find an example that closely approximated His role as the God of comfort, you know where He went? He chose a woman. Isaiah 66:13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." You know, dads, we're not comforters for the most part. Moms are. You've seen the illustration. Little Johnny falls and scrapes his knee and he's crying and he comes to his dad and his dad said, "Oh, you're all right, you'll walk it off, it's okay." He runs to his mother and she goes, "Oh, Johnny, what happened? Oh, let me see, let me see. Oh, look at that, let me get..." No wonder kids grow up wimps. That's why I need a man around to say, "He'll be all right, he'll be all right. Where's the first aid kit? Where's the first aid kit?" "I'll let him walk it off." See, we're perfectly compatible, aren't we? We're like counterweights for each other. But when God was looking for an example of comfort, he didn't go to the man. He didn't go to Adam. He went to the woman. And then she's there for the demonstration of bravery and faithfulness. John 19:25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." When strong men ran and hid for fear, the soft mother stood bravely, steadfastly, and faithfully at the cross of her son, the Lord Jesus. All the men ran like little girls, and the women stepped up like big boys. There's a bravery and a faithfulness that women demonstrate. I mean, where was Joseph? Wasn't he the earthly caretaker of Jesus? Wasn't he Mary's husband? Didn't he love the Lord Jesus? Why wasn't he there? You know who was there? Not the strong one, the soft one. The uniqueness of a woman, the helpmeet, the home front, and the heavenly calling of a woman, a mother, a grandmother. A uniqueness that belongs to no other creature in all the created universe. If God had seen fit to create her and crown her with such glory, ought we not to do the same? Especially on this special day called Mother's Day? Perhaps we've taken our wives or our mothers or our grandmothers or the women in our lives for granted. Perhaps we failed to give them the honor that is due. And can it be that we might express our gratitude to them and our thanksgiving to God for more than just once or twice a year? Couldn't Mother's Day be every day? Love is giving, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So give to the women in your life, not only materially or financially, but of your time, of your heart, of your expression, and of yourself. We thank God for providing for us and protecting us. Should we not also thank him for the uniqueness of a woman? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you, Christians. I want to ask you men, first of all, dear Christian men. I hope that you'll view the women in your life differently from now on. I hope that you will treasure the favor that God has shown you by putting them in your life and appreciate their value and importance and God-given influence. And dear Christian woman, I hope that you'll rise to the occasion to honor and glorify God by being the kind of woman he has created you to be and desires you to be. Perhaps you're here tonight or watching or listening, never been saved, never been born again, never become a child of God. Perhaps the philosophies and teachings of the world have skewed your understanding of womanhood. Today, will you agree with God? Today, will you repent of a callousness or an unkindness? But most important of all, will you allow God to make you a new creature in Christ by taking him as your Savior tonight? To ask him to forgive your sins and trust him as your Savior? Because he alone can save you. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he's the only one who can change you and make you what he created you to be. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My dear friend, God loves you more than you can ever know. And that's why Jesus came, to seek and save that which was lost. And tonight, you know that you've never been saved. Tonight, you know you've never been born of the Spirit of God. But you would like to be, and you want to be. Why don't you get saved right now where you're sitting, right in your seat? You can call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, to forgive your sins and save your soul. And I'd like to help you with it if you'd let me. Tonight, if you'd like to receive Christ and the gift of eternal life, would you look up at me and we can just pray together? You would like to do that? All right. I want you to pray with me. It's not a magic prayer. It's a prayer from your heart. I'm just helping you. And if you agree and believe what we pray, God will see that as faith. All right? Why don't you bow your head and pray to the Lord. Say, Dear God, I confess I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. But I believe Jesus came and died on the cross for me. I believe he shed his blood to pay for my sins and rose again from the dead. And right now, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you as my Savior. I'm asking you to forgive my sins. And I want to receive from you the gift of eternal life right now by faith. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And thank you, Lord, for being willing to save me. If you prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, would you look up again? On the authority of God's word, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. On the authority of God's word, if you've trusted Christ right now as your Savior, you're saved. He just gave you eternal life. You just became a child of God. And he'll help you to be all the woman he wants you to be. Congratulations. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you, my Father, that you are a great God and a glorious. And thank you that you reach all the way from heaven down to our hearts by your Holy Spirit through your word. Thank you that you love us and you came to save us, not by our own works, but by your grace and through faith. I pray, Father, that you'd bless the invitation to come and, Lord, the baptism to follow, that you might be glorified. I pray, my Father, that you do that which is pleasing in your sight. We'll thank you, praise you, and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing a hymn, number 139. If you'd stand with me, we'll sing number 139.